You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Monarch. This is The Butterfly Effect, from a spark to flame. Welcome to this episode of The Butterfly Effect. The Butterfly Effect is an idea that is commonly used in chaos theory. We are going to be discussing how a small change can make much bigger changes happen, and how one small incident can have a big impact on the future. A show about how a small change can have a much larger impact on our future. On today's episode of The Butterfly Effect, we are going to be discussing the education system in the United States of America and educational inequality in the United States of America. Education. Equal opportunity. Educational access. All of these are a huge problem in the United States of America. There are drastic differences in schools predominantly populated by minorities compared to schools predominantly populated by white Americans. This is known as educational inequality. Educational inequality is defined as the unequal distribution of academic resources, including but not limited to school funding, qualified and experienced teachers, books, and technologies to socially exclude communities. These communities tend to be historically disadvantaged and oppressed. Not having access to a proper education can lead to many challenges down the road later in life. A little later in today's episode, we are going to be talking about the challenges about not having access to a proper education can cause. But to start off, I want to talk about push out. Push Out, the criminalization of Black girls in schools, is a wonderful book by Monique W. Morris. The book Push Out, the criminalization of Black girls in schools, discusses the harsh and hurtful experiences Black girls face in school. There is now a documentary about Push Out, the criminalization of Black girls in schools. But before I get into explaining some more background on the documentary, I have to give you some statistics on Push Out, the criminalization of Black girls in schools. As you know, this would not be the Butterfly Effect without DJ Monarch giving you some statistical data. According to Discipline Data for Girls in U.S. Public Schools Department of Education Office for Civil Rights in 2018, Black girls in high school are 6 times more likely than their white girls to be suspended. Black girls in high school are 4 times more likely to be arrested than white females. Black girls in high school are 3 times more likely to be referred to law enforcement than white females. Black girls in high school are 3 times more likely to receive one or more in-school suspensions than white female students. Black girls in high school are 3 times more likely to be restrained than white female students. Black girls in high school are 2 times more likely to receive corporal punishment than white female students. Black girls are the only group of girls to be overrepresented across the entire continuum of school discipline. That includes corporal punishment, referrals to law enforcement, expulsion, suspension, arrest, and restraints. The documentary Push Out, the criminalization of Black girls in schools, focuses on 5 Black girl stories. Ariana, a 6-year-old girl who didn't know how to handle the adversity she was dealing with at school and the adversity she was dealing with at home. She faced multiple devastating tragedies in her home life and was consistently bullied at school. When the bullying reached a point she could no longer tolerate, she reacted. She punched a girl who was bullying her in the face, and as a result, she was suspended. She faced suspension multiple times in that single year and later ended up transferring schools. She transferred to Columbus City Preparatory School for Girls, and that school has allowed her to help turn her life around. Samaya, a 12-year-old girl who at age 7 was forcefully dragged out of a classroom by her teacher after she got into an argument with another second grader. Her teacher dragged her outside and left her there. She then walked the streets of Sacramento for about 2 hours before the school even notified her parents that she was missing. Unfortunately, this was not the first incident of Samaya's teacher bullying her. A 2006 study, Teachers Who Bully Students, A Hidden Trauma, found that, quote, 45% of teachers surveyed admitted to having bullied a student. This is simply unacceptable. Emma, a 16-year-old girl who was also featured in the documentary, said, quote, I really wondered why they would treat me like this. What's wrong with me? There must be something wrong with me. This is heartbreaking to hear. Since she is singled out, she believes there is something fundamentally wrong with her. Kiera, an 18-year-old girl featured in the documentary as well, said, quote, I wasn't fighting for myself. I was fighting because I wanted to feel loved. These girls simply are seeking to be accepted in their educational settings, but are rather treated and punished. Tiarna, a 19-year-old girl, described herself as an outcast who struggled to find her way through the emotional maze of middle school and high school. Unfortunately, she was not receiving any support from home or from at school, and as a result of this, she ran away from home and turned to the streets. She was then arrested and spent some time in juvenile hall. After juvenile hall, an assistant district attorney helped her into Emerge, which is an educational reentry program for girls, which allows them to recover credits and get a high school diploma, and possibly helps them into higher education or helps them find a stable job. In this program, she was able to turn her life around. If you feel unsafe and unwelcomed at school, how are you supposed to learn or gain valuable skills from the experience? It's nearly impossible. These 5 girls' stories luckily ended with a happy ending, but a happy ending is not the reality for most girls in similar situations. Unfortunately, there are whole groups of people in this country who slip through the large cracks of our educational system, or they are simply forgotten about. There seems to be this untrue belief that this educational inequality in the United States is just a problem in the southern part of the United States. However, in the New York City 1964 school boycott, Malcolm X said, quote, I'm out here to see the successful expose of the New York City school system. It proves that you don't have to go to Mississippi to find a segregated school system. We have them right here in New York City. Wait, what? New York City? Well, wait, that's not in the South. That's in the North. It's New York City. Yes, I said New York City faces this. In a school segregation segment on the show Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, he discusses school segregation in the United States of America. In a humorous yet serious way, I think this segment really does a great job in explaining the racial inequality in the United States. Before watching the segment, I thought I had a pretty good understanding of inequality and segregations in the school systems here in this country. However, I was surprised to learn that, quote, American schools are more segregated than they have been in 4 decades. What? How are we somehow moving backwards? And apparently, New York was one of the worst offenders of this. Racism is not a thing concentrated only in the South, so we need to break that narrative. Racism seeps into every state and aspect of our life. The segment even focuses on specific kids in the New York City school system. The African American students interviewed truly believe they are somehow less deserving and inferior to their white classmates. This is truly heartbreaking to hear because we have created a society with a clear racial hierarchy, especially in our education system. Okay, I'm going to give you another example of this as well. Another example of the inequality in our school system is manifested in the podcast, The Problem We All Live With, Part 1. The Problem We All Live With podcast focuses on the fact that your zip code is the anchor that traps you. That means if you do not live in an affluent or wealthy neighborhood, you're basically trapped and limited in your educational options. What Ruby Bridges once experienced is still very much prominent today. We claim integration failed because it was just too much trouble to deal with. Despite giving up on breaking some of the barriers and the systematic racism, St. Louis continued to be late in the game of fixing obvious inequality in their school systems. In the St. Louis area, 1 in 2 Black children attend schools that perform so poorly, the state has stripped them of full accreditation. Only 1 in 25 white children are in a district similar to that. The story that the podcast focuses on was absolutely heartbreaking. It focuses on a mother who is trying to get her daughter into a better school. However, to be able to get her daughter into a better school, she has to pay a tuition of $15,000 to transfer her to another public school. This cost is so ridiculous because they do not live in the district that the public school she wants to go to is. The other option was to send her to a private school. But even with financial aid, the cost of tuition was still too expensive. It is baffling to hear the inequalities and struggles people face when simply just trying to go to school. Unfortunately, people's lives are based by the structural injustices that only impact certain communities and cause specific zip codes to be dictated in certain ways. Your zip code dictates your education and your educational outcomes, which then, in turn, can dictate the rest of your life. Since these structures were not built for the survival of people living in these zip codes, many do not survive. For example, Michael Brown. Michael Brown actually graduated from high school despite all the odds stacked against him, only to later be shot down in the street by a police officer for jaywalking. Now, let me bring it back to the West Coast. Through my partnership with Canal Alliance ESL, I've had the opportunity to learn more about the inequality we face here in Marin County. The podcast, The United States of Anxiety, Two Schools in Marin County. I found this podcast extremely interesting. I was unaware of the blatant inequality in Marin County before attending Dominican University of California. The podcast focuses on two schools here in Marin County, Willow Creek and Bayside MLK. These two schools may be in the same county, but they could not be more different. The ideas and values of the 14th Amendment are at the center of this. The podcast revealed the deep-rooted societal issues we face as a nation. The history is prominent and is particularly challenging to get people to change their minds. Some of the very obvious differences in the schools were the fact that Bayside MLK had basically two teachers teaching every single subject. They also lacked an art teacher, while Willow Creek had a specialty chef. Redlining also plays a major role in school district issues. For those of you who are not familiar, redlining is the systematic divide of neighborhoods with high populations of minorities. Here in Marin, the Marin City public housing is called the jungle. The jungle. This name is very derogatory. Many generations of the same families have lived in this Marin City public housing. The structural racism of the neighborhood seeps into the structural racism of the school system. The systematic racism in Marin County has been going on for decades and affects all aspects of these people's lives. Dominican University of California is surrounded by a very wealthy affluent neighborhood filled with extravagant million-dollar homes. Meanwhile, the Canal District is very different. The Canal District is densely populated by Latin Americans. A quarter of the households in the Canal District fall below the poverty line, which is 71%. Not wanting to sound racist, people will sugarcoat it in a way to be passive-aggressive by talking about their so-called educational values. Some parents even come out and completely say, "I'm not racist," and they say something absolutely racist. Some people have harmful racist assumptions, which can cause a lot of internalized oppression on top of all the structural oppression that's already taking place. This happens right here in Marin, with parents claiming they want the best for their children. What would happen if we started to care about other people's children also? People's children who are from different zip codes than us. In San Rafael, people will send their kids to private schools or get them into district just to avoid city school systems that serve the Canal community. After the break, we are going to continue discussing educational inequality in the United States of America. You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Monarch, and this is The Butterfly Effect, from a spark to flame. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this episode of The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. Once again, I am your host, DJ Monarch. On today's episode, we have been discussing the inequality of the United States educational system. Structural racism causes African American children to face extreme barriers to achieve academic success. The school systems work against African Americans starting at an early age. School teachers may label African American preschoolers that are talkative as hyperactive or assume they have behavioral issues. And it doesn't stop there. It continues all the way through college and all forms of higher education. Education Lab, a project of the Seattle Times, was founded to explore this issue. These were some of their findings. Black preschoolers are about 3.6 times more likely to receive at least one out-of-school suspension than white preschoolers. A suspension in preschool? Okay, well, then as they get older, black students are about 5 times more likely than white students to be detained in juvenile justice facilities and are disproportionately sent from juvenile court to adult court. Schools disproportionately suspend and expel black students, and black students are at schools disproportionately referred to the police. Teachers' implicit bias of black students being violent or their low academic ability also plays a major role. When teachers were asked to rate students' academic abilities, they scored black children far below their white peers with identical scores. Black students tend to receive lower scores on standardized math and English tests as well than most other groups, and are underrepresented in advanced courses. This issue then continues into higher education like college. When black students enroll in college, they may feel isolated or alone. Though black students' enrollment in college is increasing in the United States, it is still less common than among white students and many other racial and ethnic groups. Then once they're finally into college, black students face far more barriers. For black students who are accepted to college, it is still a big challenge to complete a college degree. UCLA professor Jeannie Oakes described in the 1980s and Harvard professor Gary Ofield's research has recently confirmed most minority students are segregated in lower track classes with larger class sizes, less qualified teachers, and lower quality curriculum. Let's take a step back in history. In 1954, the Supreme Court, in the case Brown versus Board of Education, decided school segregation is unconstitutional. However, to this day, many schools remain segregated by race and economic status. Let's all be honest here. Money matters. And money especially matters when it comes to education. Studies have shown that increasing funding improves outcomes, while cuts do not. According to Fighting Systematic Racism in K-12 Education, Helping Allies Move from the Keyboard to the School Board, from the Center for American Progress, more than 35% of public school revenue comes from property taxes, which means wealthier, more affluent neighborhoods have more resources. This is one of the many reasons why predominantly non-white school districts across the United States of America annually receive $23 billion less than predominantly white counterparts. Quote, Black, Indigenous, and other non-Black students of color attend schools that are statistically more likely to be under-resourced, outdated, and in many cases, hazardous to their health. Last month, the U.S. Government Accountability Office released a report that estimated more than half of the nation's public school districts need to be updated or entirely replace multiple systems, such as HVAC or plumbing, in their school buildings. And many of these districts are concentrated in high poverty areas. If left unaddressed, these infrastructure problems could pose significant air quality issues, contributing to exacerbating asthma and chronic absenteeism in students, and negatively affect students' academic performance. Notably, higher poverty districts have less local revenue than low poverty districts to fund the capital construction cost of addressing these kinds of repairs. This issue then leads directly into the fact that many people living in low poverty areas have less access to proper health care. As you see, it is a chain reaction, a butterfly effect. Can you possibly imagine school causing you to have physical health problems? You are physically sick from going to school. Before the break, we were talking about the educational inequality here in Marin County. Now, let's take a bigger picture and talk about the whole state of California. I previously stated that education is the foundation, and without the proper education or proper educational opportunities, it may cause challenges later in life. One of these challenges being when in the job market. In 2003, the Public Policy Institute of California released a report titled Racial and Ethnic Wage Gaps in the California Labor Market. This study found Latino wage disparities can be largely explained by education, occupational differences. If U.S.-born Latinos had the same educational attainment as whites, the wage gap between them would decline significantly to 93 cents per dollar for both men and women. If Latinos worked in the same occupations as whites, the difference would be eliminated altogether. This issue I found particularly interesting since I worked with Canal Alliance ESL. Many people living in the Canal District's education level does not exceed a high school diploma. The inequality of the education system was only exacerbated due to the coronavirus pandemic. So, at the beginning of the school year, the Los Angeles Times reported about how online school fails low-income students. A survey of districts showed a big disparity between poor and wealthy schools. Quote, the Times survey showed that low-income serving districts like Linwood Unified were at a deep digital deficit when compared to districts serving more affluent areas. On average, about half the students in low-income serving districts had computers available for schoolwork when campus closed. Among the largest districts, an average of nearly two-thirds of students had them, but among the most affluent serving districts, an average of 87% of students had computers when campus closed. And virtually every student, 98%, had them about 3 weeks later. The Los Angeles Times survey focused on K through 12 schools in particular, but students practicing in remote learning have to deal with not having a quiet workspace, unreliable Wi-Fi. The inequality in America has been more clearly manifested due to the coronavirus pandemic. There is an assumption that all people have access to the proper materials for remote learning and somehow everything is now made equal. However, this is not the case, and this is not true for many people who do not have computers, and they are forced to deal with unstable internet connection and distracting surroundings. Learning is not easy. After the break, we're going to be discussing more on the educational inequalities of the United States. You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Monarch. This is The Butterfly Effect, from a spark to flame. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this episode of The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. Once again, I am your host, DJ Monarch. On today's episode, we have been discussing educational inequity in the United States of America. Continuing the discussion of the educational disparities of the coronavirus pandemic, over the course of the pandemic, there has been massive school interruptions. These massive school interruptions have affected all children, but have disproportionately affected Black, Latinx, and low-income students. Besides the fact that Black, Latinx, and low-income students do not have as much access to proper devices necessary for online distance learning, these students and their families are more likely to experience loss of employment income, which can lead to evictions and food insecurity. To compound the disruption, students have lost many of the academic, social, and emotional aspects of school due to the coronavirus pandemic. The achievement gap, which was already wide, seems to be widening for Black students and Latinx students. Black students in under-resourced schools experience differences in opportunity, starting in early childhood. They miss out on having access to high-quality preschools, well-funded elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools, and they get less advanced coursework and have lack of college counseling and college support when it comes time to apply. These differences in opportunity cause a huge difference in student success. According to the UNCF.org, quote, African American students are less likely than white students to have access to college-ready courses. In fact, in 2011 and 2012, only 57% of Black students had access to a full range of math and science courses necessary for college readiness. Even when Black students do have access to honors or advanced placement courses, they are vastly underrepresented in these courses. Black and Latino students represent 38% of students in schools that offer AP courses, but only 29% of students enrolled in at least one AP course. Black and Latino students have less access to gifted and talented education programs than white students. African American students are often located in schools with less qualified teachers and teachers with lower salaries and novice teachers. Research has shown evidence of systematic bias in teacher expectations for African American students, and non-Black teachers were found to have lower expectations of Black students than Black teachers. African American students are less likely to be college ready. In fact, 61% of ACT tested Black students in the 2015 high school graduating class met none of the four ACT college readiness benchmarks, which is nearly twice the 31% rate for all students. Students of color are often concentrated in schools with fewer resources. Schools with 90% or more students of color spend $733 less per student per year than schools with 90% or more white students. According to the Office for Civil Rights, 1.6 million students attended a school with a sworn law enforcement officer, or SLEO, but not a school counselor. In fact, the national student to counselor ratio is 491:1. However, the American School Counselor Association recommends a ratio of 250:1. In 2015, the average reading score for white students on the National Assessment of Educational Progress, or NAEP, for 4th and 8th grade exam was 26 points higher than Black students. Similar gaps are apparent in math. The 12th grade assessment also shows alarming disparities as well, with only 7% of Black students performing at or above proficient on the math exam in 2015, compared to 32% with white students. There is a clear lack of representation in school personnel as well. According to a 2016 Department of Education report, in 2011 and in 2012, only 10% of public school principals were Black, compared to 80% white. 82% of public school educators are white, compared to 18% teachers of color. In addition to this, there's a lack of Black male teacher representation because they only constitute 2% of the teaching workforce. This issue then continues into the college application process with standardized testing. According to the Washington Post article, these four charts show how the SAT favors rich educated families. Quote, SAT scores are highly correlated with income. Students from families earning more than $200,000 a year average a combined score of 1,714, while students from families earning under $20,000 a year average a combined score of 1,326. The Whiting test has the widest score gap. A student with a parent with a graduate degree, for example, on average scores 300 points higher on their SATs compared to a student with a parent with only a high school degree. And African American record the lowest score with an average of 1,278. And now with remote learning, it is likely the achievement gap will only widen. According to the New York Times article, disadvantaged students more likely to be learning remotely, study finds, quote, about 58% of non-white students attend schools that rely heavily on remote learning, compared to 36% of white students. Remote learning is widely considered less successful than traditional classrooms, especially for younger children. While just 36% of white students were enrolled at closed schools, the share was 51% among Black students, 60% among Latino students, and 64% among Asian students. Schools with large shares of non-English speaking students and those with the lowest math scores were also more likely to be closed. Charisse Rhodes, a single mother, has had a constant battle with trying to get her children engaged and involved in online remote learning. Ms. Rhodes said, "Problems have abounded. A school-issued computer would not recharge, and the replacement internet connection was weak, causing images to freeze and Maya Jane to sound like a robot. Unlike the last year when closures followed months in class, Maya Jane has never met the teachers on her screen. They get angry if she turns off the camera, but her older brother objects to appearing in the background. The biggest challenge involved Maya Jane's learning disabilities. She had a long delay in learning to speak and suffers from impaired hearing. She's not designed for school like this," Ms. Rhodes says. "There's not time for her to ask questions. She has breakdowns and just cries over little things." As someone who is also currently experiencing online remote learning, I know and understand this difficulty. I do not like having my camera on. I hate when my connection is bad, and I too get overwhelmed by the little things. However frustrated I may be, I cannot imagine participating in online remote learning at a younger age. Especially in my younger years in elementary school is about interacting and learning with your peers. Also, elementary school is the fundamental foundation of what you will use and what you will learn later on in your education. So if this foundation is not strong, you will likely struggle later in school. So not having the opportunities to do this and experience that can be absolutely detrimental to a child's development. After the break, we are going to finish our discussion on educational inequity in the United States of America. You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM only at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Monarch. This is The Butterfly Effect, from a spark to a flame. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this episode of The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. Once again, I am your host, DJ Monarch, and on today's episode, we have been discussing the educational inequity in the United States of America and how the coronavirus pandemic has widened the achievement gap. The coronavirus pandemic has sent out shockwaves of destruction in all aspects of life. It has caused a public health crisis, millions of Americans to lose their job, and the coronavirus pandemic has caused schools to close and has caused them to transition to distanced online remote learning. We were in no way prepared for the situations the coronavirus pandemic has caused. Let's remember that not all schools are equal. Not all students have the same opportunities, and not all students have access to the same resources. Students come from various backgrounds and socioeconomic statuses. So transitioning to distance online remote learning was not an easy task for everyone. Those coming from wealthier and more affluent backgrounds may have had an easier time transitioning to online distance learning, while those coming from lower socioeconomic backgrounds may have had a harder time transitioning. However, this is also a time to be reflective. Our educational system is not equal. Education is the important foundation to success, but not all children are set up for success. Our education system was never equal, but now the inequality is more clearly manifested due to the coronavirus pandemic. So rather than us say, let's try to get things back to the way they were, we should try to build a more equitable education system. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of The Butterfly Effect. You have been listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM only at Dominican University of California. Last time, I am your host, DJ Monarch. This is the Butterfly Effect, from a spark to a flame. Please join us for next week's episode of The Butterfly Effect.